Good. Good thing I wore my high heels today. I can see over the podium. Well, God bless you guys. Thanks for being here this morning. Thank you for waking up an hour early to come here. So, about 3 weeks ago, Barney Barnhart asked me to teach on our access to God in light of our identification with Christ. And over the last few weeks, I've been working the subject, and it is amazing what God can show you when you simply just ask Him to. Because this is a teaching we probably all know that, yes, we have access to God through Jesus Christ. We got that one down. But there is something so much more beautiful that God was able to show me when I was working this subject, and I'm really excited to share this with you guys, and I know it will bless your hearts. So let's just lay the foundation and go to John chapter 14. In verse 6, John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, there's the foundation. Jesus Christ is the reason that we have access to God. He paid the price, He covered our sins so that we could freely go to God once and for all. And how did we have that access through Him? We believe Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? Does everyone here believe Romans 10, 9 and 10? Okay, then guess what? You have access to God because of Jesus Christ, because you made Him your Lord and Savior based on your faith. It had nothing to do with your works. It had nothing to do with how good you were or how many times you prayed, Oh, Father, Father, please save me. No, it was always because of Jesus Christ and His works. In your faith in Him. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Now I'm just going to read a good portion of chapter 10, and I'd like for you to listen because I think it does a really good job of explaining exactly the price that Jesus Christ paid. So just open your hearts. I'm going to read it and then we'll go into more detail about it. So, chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sins? But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Do you know who's talking here? Jesus Christ, exactly. And the sacrifices are referring to the Old Testament and the law. Every single year, all the time throughout the year, the people had to continually give sacrifices and offerings to God to atone for their sins. And once a year, a high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Only one man, once a year, could go into the presence of God to atone for the sins of the whole nation. And then they'd have to do it the next year. And the next year, and the next year, which is what this first part of chapter 10 is talking about. But Jesus Christ realizes, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Verse 6, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin thou wouldest not. Neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He, Jesus Christ, taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, that means by his choice, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It was a done deal. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made completed the whole shebang. All the sacrifices, all the offerings, we don't have to do that anymore. Jesus Christ did it once and for all by his free choice, by his will. And every priest standeth daily, verse 11, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstools. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, after reading this passage and studying it, it's very clear that there are some perks to this, some definite perks. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's us. Sanctified means we were set apart and made holy. Not by our works, because Lord knows our flesh is not holy. But because of Jesus Christ, God was able to set us aside and say, yep, all you guys, you're my people, and you are now holy. You are washed clean. What else? Verse 15, Holy Spirit. Ho, ho, ho. Not only are we washed clean, but now we have Holy Spirit. God is Holy Spirit, and he made it available so that we could have his Spirit within us, so that we could have a relationship with God. It's not just like, okay, now you all get to enter in once a year into the Holy of Holies, like the high priest. He says, no, I'll give you my Spirit so that you can enter into my Holy of Holy at any moment and any time, regardless of your sins, which is another perk. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. We all have the old man nature. We all sin every day. I'm sorry if you don't realize that, but yes. Every day we sin because we still have this flesh. We still have the old man. But God made it available so that legally, because Jesus Christ paid the price, God will remember our sins and our iniquities no more. Doesn't that just free you? We are completely freed because of Jesus Christ. And we are free to go to God, not as worthless, dirty people, but as holy, completely cleaned, sanctified people, his people, without any guilt, without any shame. We have been forgiven for every single thing we have done and will do in the future. It's amazing. And not only that, we are free, but it says in, where is it? Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We don't have to go to God feeling worthless or feeling like we're not important enough to care for. We can go to him with boldness because he made us perfect in his sight. He made it available so that we have nothing that can hold us back anymore. Jesus Christ broke down the veil. He broke down every single barrier that could potentially keep you from having a relationship with God. Everything. Not only the legal stuff about the law, but the guilt, the condemnation, the shame, the dirtiness, all of that stuff. He broke down those barriers. The pride. Yeah, that's a barrier. Okay, there's a big one that sometimes I don't think we think about, that can be a barrier to going to God, that we think we can do it ourselves. I got this one, God. I'm cool. Thanks. Thanks anyways. Yeah, no. Jesus Christ even made it available, and that's what I really want to share today, is that Jesus Christ made it available to go to God with not only forgiveness of sins and being holy, but also that we can go to God with humbleness and with boldness, and that Jesus Christ gave us that example of how to have a relationship with God and how to access God with a heart of humbleness and obedience. It's not just simply going to God always, which is a really good thing to start doing. Asking God, hey God, good morning. What would you like me to do today? What should I wear today? Who do you want me to talk to? That's the beginning of having access to God, where you talk to him and you walk with him. But what God has been showing me over the last few weeks is that it goes far beyond simply accessing God. It's accessing God and being ready to hear the answer he gives you, and then humbly doing it and obeying. So let's turn to Mark chapter 14. Because you see, when we believed on Jesus Christ, we have Christ in us now. Colossians says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have all the ability that Jesus Christ had. We can have the same relationship that Jesus Christ had with the Almighty, our Father now, the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Well, Jesus Christ is our example, and he also lives in us. So I want to show you what he did and encourage you that you can do the same thing. So Mark 14, verse 36, this is right before Jesus was going to be betrayed and crucified, and he knew he was going to be betrayed and crucified. This wasn't a big surprise. God had prepared him for this all along. But verse 36, and he said, Abba, Daddy, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. There's a couple things here that we can learn from. There's a lot, actually. But first of all, he addresses the Father with great tenderness, with great closeness, with great boldness here, and love. Abba, Father. And then he acknowledges exactly who God is. All things are possible unto thee. Right there, Jesus Christ is putting himself in a submissive position. Okay, God, Father, I recognize you are the great one. All things are possible because of you, not me, but because of you. And then he very openly shares his heart. Take away this cup from me. That is very honest. You know, we can go to God and share our hearts very freely, just like Jesus Christ did. Hey, God, I don't know what to do here. Or I don't really want to do this right now. And this, you know, we probably don't experience anything quite what Jesus Christ did here. But he was so honest before God. Take away this cup from me, if it's possible. Nevertheless, even though that's, you know, I don't really want to, this is really hard, I don't want to go through with this. Nevertheless, it's not about me, not what I will, but what thou, Father, will. See, Jesus Christ put himself in the position where he was completely humbled and meek and obedient to God. And that is truly what I believe God's heart towards us is that he wants us to have that kind of relationship where we go to him with boldness, understanding the price that was paid so that we could have a relationship, and go to him with tender hearts. Abba, Father, you are so great. We praise him. We acknowledge who he is. Then we share our hearts. Hey, God, I need some help in this area. Hey, Father, I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm really struggling. But you know what? Regardless of what I think, Father, what do you want me to do? What can I do for you because of what you have already done for me? And I just thought that one verse exemplified Jesus Christ's heart and his relationship with God, and that we have Christ in us. So we can do that same thing. We really, really can. And it's simply a choice that we have to make every moment, every time we go to God. Are we going to go to him and say, all right, God, I need this and I need that. Oh, and I'd really like a new car and a house and, oh yeah, some friends would be cool and all this stuff. And then we turn around and we try and figure it out ourselves. Okay, I'll share an example from my life. This past week has been really crazy at work. Really, really crazy. I work in a chemistry lab and I run lots of tests for drug companies. And last Thursday, I was running 6 different tests for this one company. And these tests have been working great. Dead. Nothing works. It takes 2 days to run these tests. And after the second day, when you get the final results, nothing. Like nothing took place after 2 days of lots and lots of work. Friday comes along, my second day of the tests I started Thursday. 6 plates. Boom. Dead. Completely gone. 2 days worth of work. Nothing. Okay, so then this week, guess what my job was to do? Troubleshoot. Figure out what's going on. Why did it just die? What's the problem? So all week long, I'm trying all these different tests, trying to eliminate what's going on. And all the while, I'm saying, God, help me. What's going on? What's going on? Help me. And then, you know what I would do? I would access God, but then I would completely go right back to my thinking. God, help me. What's the answer? Okay, it can't be this. It can't be that. What about this? What about this? Well, I know scientifically that this could be that and that. Okay, I went to God, yes, but I didn't listen. I didn't wait for the answer and then follow through with what God said. So Thursday night, after 4 days of trying to figure it out, I gave up. Said, okay, God, what's going on? And I took some time and I listened. And God gave me the answer. And you know what? It was the simplest little teeny tiny thing. It was one ingredient that we use for one step out of 20 steps that was contaminated. And when I think back, he already had told me that Monday, but I didn't listen. Because I was like, oh, it can't be that. No way, it can't be that. That's way too easy. I got to try all this other stuff first because that's what I think is best. So Friday, you know what I did? I said, okay, God, you say it's called BSA. Not that that matters, but okay, God, you say it's a BSA. I'm going to use totally new BSA, even though we never have problems with what. Okay, I stopped grumbling, said, okay, I'll try it. And you know what? Every single test I did that day passed. Perfectly, I mean, everything was, it was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And it just, you know, God just really worked with my heart and showed me, see what happens when, yes, you go to me and you access me with boldness, asking for help, but there's more to it. There's more to it. You have to listen and then walk out on what I tell you to do. And it was really simple what I needed to do, too. God never asks us to do things that are beyond our strength or, you know, really that hard in the end. Because he always gives us the strength to do it. And I know adding just one new ingredient isn't that hard. But to me, it was a whole lot of work all week long that could have been saved if I just humbled myself before God and said, okay, God, what's the answer? And I will wait for it. And then I will do it. And, you know, I just think that that's a big key to our walk with God and to having access to God. It's not just having access to God, but it's the heart with which we have access to God and the willingness to do what he says. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 27, this is Jesus Christ speaking. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, or humble in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, we can learn from Jesus Christ. And guess what? It's not even just like studying Jesus Christ. It's walking in the Spirit of Jesus Christ that's within us. It's a choice that we have to make. You know, we've been learning all about putting on the new man. This is exactly what this is talking about. When we choose to put on the mind of Christ, especially when we access God. Do we put on the mind of Christ when we pray? You know, we have to make that choice. When we talk to God, okay, Father, I'm going to humble myself before you because that's what Jesus Christ did. And I know I have that ability within me to do that. So, you know, I know I'm nailing this point home, but the key to accessing God here is to be meek and lowly in heart, or humble in heart. And Jesus Christ, to me, that was one of his greatest strengths, and is one of his greatest strengths in his relationship with God, was the humbleness and the meekness of heart. It was his love and his compassion and many other characteristics. But over the last few weeks, God has showed me that is so key, is the humbleness and meekness and willingness to do that which God has called us to do. Please turn to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1 says, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. For he is the propitiation, or the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought also to walk even as he walked. You know, I'm encouraging you, but here's God encouraging us to walk as Jesus Christ walked. Because I don't know about you, but I want the love of God perfected in my heart. I want to grow up into the Christ and be able to, with every word I speak, with every action I take, ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How can I bless someone? How can I minister to them? How can your love be manifested in me? Because I realize and I see what you have done for me. You have saved me. You have made me holy and clean. You have forgiven me. You have loved me even when I was unlovable. And now I want to share that with others. And God can do that for you when you just go to him with your full heart. And the love of God will be perfected in you. And you will see great signs and miracles and wonders. You know, Jan shared something the last Tuesday she did about the Passover lamb and Jesus Christ and what the four gospels represent. And she said that the gospel that is exemplifying Jesus Christ as a servant has the most signs and miracles recorded in it. That was a characteristic that is displayed of being a servant. Jesus Christ was a servant to God, not a slave, but a servant. By his choice, he said, God, I'll do what you want to do. What can I do for you? And you know what happened? Signs, miracles, and wonders. So if you want signs, miracles, and wonders in your life, then you got to get humble before God, and you got to be willing to do what he says as a free will servant to him. that's when you'll start to see things happening. It's not simply because of our knowledge of the word, although that goes hand in hand, because you won't know what to do if you don't know what God says to do in his word. But it's the heart. It's the heart and the willingness and the readiness to do what God says above what you think that you should be doing. And I'd like to close in James chapter 4. You know, because maybe there are times when you do go to God and you get frustrated because you don't hear the answers, or you don't see his plan, or you see things going on, and you just don't understand it, and you get discouraged or frustrated. Well, then that's a matter of our heart, where we need to get our hearts back in line with God and ask God and be ready for the answer. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Sometimes we ask God what to do, and we're expecting this answer. And it's not always the right answer. And God won't give you that answer if it's not good. So maybe if you're getting frustrated about an answer, check your heart with God a little and be ready to listen to his answer and not the one you're expecting. Verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. See, God's grace can be poured out on us at any moment, and that grace can influence our heart to be like Christ. It's by God's grace that we are here, and it's by God's grace that we are even saved, and that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. It was by grace. And God says, okay, you have some problems? I'll give you more grace. But he giveth more grace. But in order to receive that grace, we have to be humble. But giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And trust me, that works, okay? If you take a stand, no matter what the devil is trying to throw your way, I mean, this week has been crazy. But I decided, you know what, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to teach. And I'm going to read the word and I'm going to prepare this teaching. I don't care what the circumstances are around me. I'm going to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And you know what? It's working. I'm up here. I'm teaching. Very cool testimony right here. That's me. And verse 8. Now this is something, this verse really, really hit my heart too. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That word draw, it's from the root of a word that means to coil, which I found really fascinating. Because sometimes we think draw near, like hug or come close. But this is even more intricate than that. Coil yourself around God, around his heart. Get to know him so that you guys are coiled, interwoven, as Jesus Christ was. I and the Father are one, one in purpose. So can we be one in purpose with God, coiled together, drawing near to him. And guess what? He will draw nigh to you. He will draw near to you. He already has drawn near to us. He took the first step. So guess what? I want you guys. And I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to take a step towards you. And now he's saying, take a step to me. Draw nigh to me, coil yourself, interwoven your heart with mine, or interweave your heart with mine. And verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So I think it's very clear, it's very simple, but it's very beautiful that humbleness is the key to our access to God and really receiving from God and being willing and ready to do that. And I just want to read Hebrews chapter 10 again, verse 22. And this is my heart for you guys. Is let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. We don't have to doubt anymore. It's true, it's tried. Draw near to God with a true heart, willing, ready, obedient, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Realize that the price has been paid, that your sins are forgiven. There is no more shame. There is no more condemnation. And our bodies washed with pure water. You are made holy. So go to God and see what he wants you to do today. And then do it. And I promise, I guarantee, and you don't have to take my word for it, you can take God's word for it, that the fruit in your life will abound to glorify him, which is our whole purpose. So I love you guys very much, and I've asked Rachel and Andrew to sing a song to close out. And they're going to sing On Calvary, because I just want you guys to remember what Jesus Christ did so that we can go to God with a full, assurant heart and obedient and humble before him.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty on Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at his love I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. And mercy there was grace and grace was free. And pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burden soul found liberty on Calvary. And oh, the love that true salvation's plan. And oh, the grace that brought it down to man. And oh, the mighty gulf that God did span on Calvary. And mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty on Calvary. Oh, and mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty on Calvary. On Calvary. On Calvary.
Thank you.